So the Torah tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, in the third month of the Jewish people coming out of Egypt, Vayom Hazeh, on this day, Bo'u Midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. The Medrash already explains what it means, Vayom Hazeh, that it was a Rosh Chodesh. Rashi says, Bayom Hazeh, so this teaches us that it's got to be today, always today. You're receiving the Torah today. It's interesting that nobody asks on Rashi, what does Rashi mean? Even though he's quoting the Mechilta, but this was 6 or 7 days before Matan Torah. So when we say that on this day they arrived at Sinai, and then you want to tell me that that's teaching us that every day has to be today, we're arriving at Sinai, but there's still a week to go. So there was something that happened to us in arriving at Sinai, like we say in the Haggadah, Ila kervonu lifnei ha-Sinai, if God had brought us before Mount Sinai, v'loi nosan lono ha-Torah, and hadn't even given us the Torah, dayenu. There was something about that event of coming together at Sinai which was enough. So the Torah tells us, Vayisum Rephidim, we came from Rephidim, and that's where we had the Milchoma with Amalek. Vayuvoyu Midbar Sinai, and they came to the wilderness desert of Sinai. Vayachanu Bamidbar, and they camped there in the wilderness. Vayichan Sham Yisro Neged Hohar, and the Jewish people camped there opposite the mountain. Moshe olo el olikim, and Moshe went up to God. Vayikra elav Hashem inohar, God called to him from the mountain, Lema saying, Koisoim el beis Yaakov, this is what you should say to the house of Jacob, Besaged libnei Yisrael, and tell the Jewish people, Atem re'isem, you've seen asher sisina mitzroim, whatever I've done to Egypt. Vo'eso eschem, and I carried you, al kamfei nishorim, on the wings of eagles. Vovi eschem elai, and I brought you to me. Now, va'ato, im shemoya tishmu b'koli, if you listen to my voice, ushmaratim es brisi, and you guard my covenant, v'hiyisem li segula, and you will be special to me, mikolo amim, from all the nations, ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole world belongs to me. Va'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyanim, and you will be a kingdom, you will be a kingdom of priests, v'goy kodosh, and a holy nation. Ela hadvorim asher tedaber b'nei Yisrael. These are the words that you should say to the Yidden. So, there are many midrashim, and there are many Torahs that are said about this. Rashi has a strange comment. He says, Ela hadvorim, these are the words that you should tell the Jewish people, leipochos v'lo yoseh, no more, no less, no more. Exactly. So, what is it that God is saying? If you listen to my voice and you guard my covenant and you be special, because the whole world is mine, which is a non-sequitur if ever there was one, va'atem tiyu l'mamleches kohanim, you'll be to me a kingdom of priests, v'goy kodosh, and a holy nation. These are the words that you should tell the Jewish people, no more and no less, because there's a havamina that Moshe would try and explain what God means here, because really, God is saying, if you give me everything, you listen to my voice, you guard my covenant, then you'll be a kingdom of priests, you know, and a holy nation. So what? I mean, you're not promising me any kind of a reward. You're not telling me things are going to go good for me. You're not telling... It's like... That's what does it actually mean? What is God promising us something? Is God telling us? God's telling me, oh, if you act really special and you act in a unique and unusually altruistic way, you'll be special. No, so in this verse, obviously, there's very much hidden, but Moshe is not allowed to tell us what's hidden here. He has to repeat the words exactly as God told them to us. In fact, so much so that he even repeated the words, Eile ha-devorim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael, and these are the words that you should speak to the Jewish people. So it's like Moshe told us, God told me to tell you this, and then he ended by saying, and this is what God told me to tell you. As though Moshe was telling us, there is so much more, but God told me not to tell you anymore. So hidden in here, in these two sentences, are God's explanation of everything. So over the years that we've been learning together, we've talked about this a few times. I want to say over a Torah from the Rav Zina. He brings the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Torah was given on either on the 6th or the 7th, everybody agrees it was given on Shabbos, 3 days before the Torah was given, there was a hakbolah. Moshe said, okay, guys, you have to put a fence around the mountain. Nobody's allowed to go up the mountain. Before that, we were camped there at the mountain and nothing happened. It was only on the third day that Moshe goes up there. So the Gemara says, "Beyoyim kama, on the first day that we arrived at Sinai, loy omaluhu mide, God didn't say anything, mishum chulshid orch, because of the weakness of travel. Yeah, we had to get over the traveling that we'd done. B'sheni, on the second day that we were there, omaluhu, he said to them, Va'atem tiyulu mamleches koyanim, and you will be a kingdom of priests and a goy kodosh and a holy nation. B'shlishi, on the third day, omaluhu mitzvus hakbolo, he gave us the commandment to put a boundary around the mountain. So the Radzina says that this Gemara has sort of something really profound to tell us. What does it mean, Chulshu d'orcha? We usually translate this as they were tired of traveling. The weakness of the orach. He says, not what it means. He said, we had come from Rephidim and we had had a war with Amalek. And what was the war with Amalek? Is because we had grown weak. What was the weakness? We tested God. We asked, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin. We wanted to know, is God in us or not? This question set up a tremendous stress. And it took us a long time to recover. And so this first day that we arrive in Sinai and we're given a day of rest is really the fixing of this Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin. We ask this question, is God inside us or not? What does it mean? So the Zohar Kodesh says, the real question wasn't, is God inside us? We know that God is inside us. But we wanted to know, is the God inside us Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei, or is it the God inside us Oyin, meaning that ancient, holy essential, We're going to run out of words here if I try and figure out how to explain. What does it mean, Atiku? The only way we can translate Atiku is the ancient one. You see, Yudke Vovke, the Shem Havaya, is there in the middle of the Sephiroth and represents the Sephiroth of Tiferes. Tiferes is right in the middle of the Sephiroth, but it's part of an order. You've got Chochma, Bina, you've got Chesed, Gevura. Tiferes. Tiferes is really the middle of the lower six, right? You've got Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. In Kabbalah, this is called Zeirampin, the small faces. These aspects of God are called Midos, characteristics, measures. And you know, Chesed and Gevura are very different. They're opposites. The mere fact that we're talking about opposites in God already means that we're talking about our understanding of God that makes sense to us. But there's an aspect. God is really Atiku. God is more ancient. Less orderable, less understandable. And you know, when Atiko, when we talk about where the Jewish people originate, so to speak, we say Yisroel Olo b'machashova, the Jews, we arose in the thought, meaning that when God was considering the Jewish people, he decided, oh, let me make a world. So even before we get to the world of Atzilus and archetypes and the architecture of creation, Yisroel are already ancient. That relationship we call Atiku. Another name for it, says the Zohar Kodesh, is Ein, the nothing, the no thing. So that was really our question. Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oin. What is there inside us? God who is Yudke Vovke, or God who is Oin, who is Atiku Kadisha? What's the difference? The difference is that if I'm relating to God as Yudke Vovke, then I need to relate in a way that has an order. If I'm relating to God as Atiko, then order is meaningless. Time is meaningless. First and last is meaning, beginning and end, cause and effect are meaningless if I'm relating to God as Atiko. The problem was that we tried to test God. We tried in a by force of will to get God to reveal to us the truth. We've seen you at the sea, and at the sea Moshe came to God and said, the Yidden are crying. Why are you crying? Well, you know, they've got their back to the sea. The Egyptians are coming from them one direction, and both sides you've got the wilderness. They feel trapped. They want me to daven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Matitake line, what are you doing crying to me? Hello, I'm a Jew. What else should I do? You're God. I'm in trouble. I'm crying to you. Am I not supposed to cry to you? So the Zohar Kodesh says, Matitzak Eli, God says to Moshe, Ba'atiku Talia Milsa. What's going to be revealed here is the revelation of the original thought. So the Jews are not in any trouble. Why are you bothering with the crying and davening now? It's not the time, it's not the place, it's not appropriate. I am now going to reveal the reason why I created the world for the Jewish people. So what are you worried about? Start walking. It doesn't really matter what you do now. Just whatever you do, it's going to succeed. That was revealed to us at the sea, at the Red Sea, on the seventh day of Pesach. It split for us. Even though the nations of the world came in front of God and demanded judgment and justice, and we only want justice, halolu oivdei avodah zarah, these are idol worship, there's a bunch of pagans there, like, why are you distinguishing? You're going to split the sea for them? You're going to drown them? What's the difference between them? On the surface, there's no difference between the Egyptians and the Jews. Why should you favor one over the other? And God says, I don't even have to answer that question right now, because Ba'atiku Talia Milsa. If there's a revelation of me, if I'm revealing myself, then it makes as much sense to judge the Jewish people as it does to judge me. This is way beyond anything that you can understand. This is, I'm revealing Atiko the ancient. It's interesting though, the Gemara says that when we looked at God at the sea, it says, Roa so shifcho alayom mashalei roi cheskel ben buzi, that the vision that we had of God at the sea was something that even the prophet Ezekiel wasn't privy to seeing. This seeing God as Atiko . This is not something that everybody gets to see, even the greatest prophets. And yet, Rosa Shifra, even the slave girl, even the maidservant gets to see. So the Radzina says, we are the maidservant. The whole idea of maidservant is a metaphor for somebody who is powerless and has no rights, no free will, has to do what they're told. Like, that's who we were at that time. We weren't really free. We had been given a furlough in the sense of being redeemed from Egypt, but we were still caught up in all that stuff. We hadn't really achieved any kind of freedom. And so the Torah, the Gemara also says, Hashem ish milchomo, that when we saw God as Atiko by the splitting of the Red Sea, we saw him as a young man, as a bochur, as a lad, as an adolescent, a teenager. When we saw God at Sinai, it's kezokin. We saw God as a sage, an old man, wrapped in a talis, zokin mole rachamim, an old person full of compassion. Really, it should be the other way around. You know, if we're seeing Atiko, the ancient one, shouldn't he be a zokin? Shouldn't he be old? If at the sea, at the splitting of the Red Sea, we were privy to see that Atiku, the Holy Ancient One, then surely shouldn't be an adolescent. And the answer is that you see God the way you are. You see God the way you are. So we were the Shifcha. We were the powerless, the addict. We were the immature child gimme, 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 gimme now. And therefore, even though we were had our eyes opened and we were allowed to see the Holy Ancient One, we could only see him in this guise that with our eyes, right? So we see this teenager. By the time we got to Sinai already, we were free. We had been through 7 times 7. We had been through the whole cleansing process of the 49 steps. And so then we are privileged to see God as the truly ancient. So the Rav Zina says, what was the problem with the Jewish people wanting to see Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin? Wanting to see, is God inside us or not? How is that different? How is that different from the inquiring that other great Jews have done? You know, we have a story, a Medrash, that Avraham, the Medrash says, Avraham is walking along the road. He sees this metropolis all lit up. So he asks, "Efshe shahabiro beli manhe?" Is it possible that this big city doesn't have an owner? That it doesn't have somebody who's taking out the garbage, right? Who's turning the lights out? So God says, Ani hu bala biro. God says to Avram, I am the owner of the city. This is a big medrash. In this one medrash is kind of the whole story of Avraham's search for God is encapsulated in the story. How is it encapsulated? You see, in Avram's time, there were a lot of people who knew God, right? We don't believe that Avram invented God or invented monotheism or invented a knowledge of God, right? Even the great nations that had come before Avraham had idea of God, and they used to, even the pagan ones referred to God as Elohod Elohai, or the God of Gods. The Medrash says, Hitzitz olav balabira. When Avram asked, Toima, is that to say that there's nobody in charge of this city? Hitzitz olav balabira. So the Bis Yaakov, the son of the Ishbitzis, says, what is the word hitzitz? It's like meitzitz. It's a kind of opening of the eyes, that when you're looking through the cracks from the outside into the inside, that's called meitzitz. Hitzitz olav balabira means that the Ribbono Shel Olam opened Avraham's eyes and he was able to see inside, and he realized, well, of course somebody is in charge. How did Avraham realize somebody is in charge? And this is one of the deep Ishbitzer Torahs from the question. The question is the answer. The fact that you ask the question, that is the evidence of Atika, not of Shem Havaya. You look at the world and you can see God, right? But when you look at the world and you can't see God, and you ask the question, how could it be that I can't see God? Which is what Avram was asking. Toima she'ein lebiro manhiko. What is going on in the world? How could there be a God if this is going on? And I know there's a God, so how can I explain this paradox of the world seems to be running itself into the ground, and I know that there's a God, so... So the Ishbitzer deep Torah is that question, Hitzitz olav balabira, God says to Avraham, without even answering him. It's not like God spoke to Avraham, but Avraham realized from his own question. The question is the revelation of Atiko. The questions that we ask when we look at the world and we see the state of the world. I mean, for me, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in the Second World War. I'm sorry. I can't get past it. The fact that the Russians liberated, you know, this concentration camp and the Americans, this, you know. How come God didn't liberate anything, you know? Like, is there anybody who was there who said, oh, you see, God liberated us? Yeah, I'm sure there were a few who said. Could you see it? No. So you had a moment in history where God didn't just hide himself, but he hid the fact that he's hiding himself, right? I mean, today, yeah, the Russians liberated this one and the Americans liberated them. Which one did God liberate? Which Jew did God liberate after World War II, after it was all over? So I have to confess, I'm still stuck there. The Ishbitzi says to me, Heshi, that question right there, that is the revelation of Atiku. That you're asking this question. Not the question. That you, Heshi, are asking this question. Where is it coming from? How come you didn't hear this question from your father, from your mother, from your brothers? You didn't read it in the newspaper. How come you didn't see it in a sefer? How come none of your rebbes in the yeshiva asked this question? You're asking this question. That's what Avram Avinu realized. He said, Avram Ele, why are you asking this question? Toyma she'en lebira manik, does that mean? How could it be that the city has nobody in charge? Avram Ele, that is the revelation that you're looking for. We don't really have time to go into, you know, the steps, how the Ishbitz arrives at this. I mean, like, what does it mean for us? But just to sum it up, the question is the revelation of the Ancient One. It's sweet. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times I say it over to myself, it's like each time it gets sweeter. So really, so that means I have access to the Ancient One? Yeah, you have access to the Ancient One. How? Think about it. Think about where your questions are coming from. You see, the difference between Avram Avinu and the Yidden in the Midbar when they said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oyen, they were being menaseh, they were testing God. They were saying, God, we're going to test you and make you show us. We're going to force you, we're going to try and force you, to prove to us, to show to us that in fact, we are connected to Atiku Kaddish, and that really the Yudke Vovke is the way that our Fleischige Eugen, our eyes of flesh and blood see the world, but really, 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 if we get down, you're going to show us, aren't you? You're going to let us see, aren't you? You'll let us peel back that Mesach HaMavdil, you know, that wall that cuts us off from the reality, God. You're going to let us see, right? You promise you'll let us see, right? And God says, no, I'm not going to let you see. I'm not. That's not how you can do this. You see, because you're not asking the question. The ha'oro is in the hetzitz. And you're coming from the wrong direction. And because they ask, Hayesh Hashem mikibeinu im oyen, they set off this whole series of calamities because they're asking to be shown something that can't be seen. And instead of them realizing that the question is the answer, they get caught up in the complaining. Why is it happening to me, and so forth. So really, the big lesson is that we can have access way beyond what our eyes can see, even in this world, this paradoxical world of Hestaponim, where there's the hiddenness And what is the revelation? The revelation is in the deepest question that comes up from inside us. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, how come you're not revealing who you are to me? How come you don't reveal to the world who you are? In that question is the revelation. It's a sweet, sweet Torah. So, when we arrived at Sinai, we needed to let go of this force, this arm wrestling that we were doing with God, that we were going to force God to show us the Atikah, this connection which is above right and wrong and forwards and backwards and cause and effect, and this connection that we have, which is inside us, right? As our holy brother Alan teaches us again and again, you know, anything that we think about God, which involves thinking of God as the other, this is already paganism. So we're always talking about God inside. I mean, this is a Gevalt Torah. With this alone, a person can go and stand at the mountain and receive the Torah. So this is why on the first day, Loi Omer Luhu Midah, God didn't say anything to us when we arrived at Sinai, Mishim Chulsha Da'urcha, because of that weakness that we had to get over. The second day, the Gemara says to, he said, Va'atem Tiyu Li Mamleches Koyanim, you will be a kingdom of Koyanim. So the Radzina says, you know, the Gemara in Gittin says, you can never really grasp the Torah until you stumble. Ein odom oimed al divrei Torah ken nichshel behem. You know, until you've stumbled over a Torah, until you've made the mistake and fallen flat on your face and everything, you're not going to get it. So we had to, in a sense, make that mistake of trying to force God's hand into the revelation, and then take a day out to stop and think about where we were. And then Rabbeinu Shem says to us, you need to be a kingdom of priests. And one of the things about the priest, that the Torah says, Loisale b'malis al mizbech, immediately after the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says, if you make an altar for me, it has to be stones that haven't been cut with a knife. You can't quarry the stones with anything metal. And Loisale b'malis al mizbech, asher loitzigaler vascha olav, don't walk up my altar on steps, on stairs. So that you don't reveal your nakedness. The Kohen is someone who's not allowed to reveal his nakedness. A Jew doesn't say in the Torah, don't reveal your nakedness. It says, v'lo yeroh b'cho eva, so it shouldn't be seen, but it says, lo yisigale, you don't reveal your nakedness, says by the Kohen. And God says to us, Va'atem tiyuli mamleches Kohenim, I want you to be a nation of priests, meaning when you walk up to this altar, when you approach Atika, it has to be on a ramp, which is the difference between a ramp and steps, is that one is behadrogo, you know, one you go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. When you're going up a ramp, you're going by increments that are indistinguishable. It's not integers, right? And when we approach Atika Kadisha, when we approach this revelation, we're not allowed to jump from step to step. We have to do it in a way that is considered seemly. And this is the commandment that Hashem gives us on the second day, Va'atem tiyuli mamleches koyanim. And another thing about the Kohen has to wear a gartel. The Kohen has to wear this girdle, Shela yeliboi roya eso ervo, so that his heart cannot see his nakedness, which is another hint. And in fact, the Radzina brings the Gemara in Zvochim. The Gemara in Zvochim says, Rabbi Ashi says, Hunabanosen told me that once he was in front of a king, Dizgadar, some Persian king, and I adjusted my belt to make it more comfortable. And the king said to me, "Hey, what about that posuk, Mamleches Koyanim v'goy kodesh? Aren't you one of those Jews that's a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? What are you doing loosening your belt?" And so he tightened his belt again, right? So the connection, the Radzina says, you see, the tightening of the belt to separate the top half of the body from the bottom half of the body, this is like an encapsulates this union of Mamleches Koinem, a kingdom of priests. Because there, between the heart and the ervo, what does it mean, the ervo? It means there where we are vulnerable. And there has to be a separation between the heart and there where we are vulnerable. Yosef says to his brothers, Ervas ho'oretz bosem nirais. You've come to see the vulnerability. He accuses them of being spies. You've come to see not the nakedness of the land, but you've come to see where we're vulnerable because you want your spies. That's what spies do. So Ervo is where we are vulnerable. And we are vulnerable as soon as we try to jump into our knowledge of the Atika, of where we are connected. Really, the only way we can approach this mystery of how deeply we're connected to God is in the question and in the faith, and not, you know, in the jumping, not in the forcing. And so on the third day, we were given the mitzvah of Agbola, we were given the mitzvah of making a fence. And the Zohar Kodesh says that here God says to Moshe, here I'm making you my shaliach. I'm making you my messenger. I'm sending you on a mission. And I trust you, says God, Shlicha Mehemna, to do this Hagbola, to do this boundary around the mountain. And this is why it says, Eile Hadvorim, these are the words, Loi Pochois, no more, no less, because Moshe could have given us the clue. Moshe could have revealed to us how deeply we're connected, not just how deeply we're connected, how to access that connection with Atika. And Rabban Shem says to him, I'm trusting you not to. Shlicha Mehemna, you are my trusted shliach, that you are going to say precisely these words which have all the mysteries hidden. If they want to go, they're looking, they can go looking. But you, O Moshe, you're not allowed to tell them, not one syllable are you allowed to reveal to them. This much you're allowed to tell them, that I told you you're not allowed to reveal to them. Because then, if somebody tells you, I've just told you a secret, then you can go over their words and learn them again and see how to get the secret, right? So that much Moshe was allowed to tell us. But how, in the Mamleches Koyanim v'Goy Kodosh, Ki li kol ha'oretz, you know, there's the word Ki li kol ha'oretz makes no sense in that sense, and because the whole world is mine, if you guard my, then you keep my things and you listen to my voice and you will be special to me because all the world is mine. So we know that the word ki has only four meanings, oidil me'ela dohor, and none of these four meanings fit the context. So really we're going completely outside of Hebrew, we're going completely outside of language, we're going completely outside all the rules of grammar, so to speak, which from which the world is built. And you know, We said we learned many times in Ishbitz that there are five levels. There's Hirhur. The highest level is when God is sending you a thought, and it doesn't even come in as a thought. It comes in, it gets so deep that somewhere in your unconscious, some process in your brain has to flag it in order to bring it to your attention before you can even think about it. It's called Hirhur. So then something gets flagged inside your mind, you start to think about it. This is called Machashava. Then from this Machashava comes Rotzoin, comes a desire. This is level three. From this desire comes a Maase, comes an act. That's level four. Then the final chasima, the closing is the words. Because an act, even if you've done act, it's not final, because with your words you can explain it and give it meaning completely other, right? You see me do something and you think to yourself, oh, what's he doing? And then I come and explain with my mouth, with my words, what I've done, then my act completely changes, right? So the act is not the final thing. There's the speech afterwards. So you've got Hirur, Machashova, Rotzin, Dibur, Maase, Dibur. Then the Radzina says, yeah, but you know, there's a sixth level, which is Ksivo. You can then write the words down. You see, when you write the words down, it takes it all the way back again to the level of Hirhur, because you can walk away from the words then and they will remain. You can forget about them, and somebody else will come along and see the words written 1,000 years later, 3,000 years later, and he will have a Hirhur. In a sense, the Sefer Yetzirah that we were learning talks about the books, the three books with which the world is created, because the idea of the written word is, in a sense, when you've gone from Hirhur through Machshava, through Rotzoin, through Maase, through Dibur, you can then bring it all the way back to the beginning again by writing it down. And it is transformed again. And this is, in a sense, what's happening with the Torah. The Anoichi, it says, the Gemara says, Ano nafshoi kesivas Yehovah, that I myself have written, says God. That's the word Anoichi, is I myself have written and given. You should know, it says, Vayichen Sham Yisro Neged Hohar. We came to Mount Sinai and Israel camped there opposite the mountain, and the Medrash says, why doesn't it say Vayachanu, and they camped? It doesn't say, it says Vayichen Sham, and Israel camped there, in the singular. So the Mechilta, the Medrash says, Ki ish echad, like one person, Belev echad, with one heart. At that moment, and this is another one of the reasons why we say, Ile kervon lifnei Sinai velenosan es haTorah dayenu, if God had brought us to Sinai and not given us the Torah, it would have been plenty enough, because of this Madrega of oneness that we reached, where once you realize that God is in you, and once you realize that there is no God out there, that there is only the God in you, and that the God in you is what you see in your neighbor, the meaning of Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, at that moment we became truly one. And that's why the Dibur of Anoichi is not a command. The first of the Ten Commandments is not a command. You know, it says, Kabed es avicha, honor your father and mother, Zochas yom and Shabbos, remember Shabbos, right? Lo tirzach, do not. Where's the command in I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt? But you see, that first of the Ten Commandments is the equivalent of that first of the 10 sayings with which the world is created, which was what? In the beginning God created heaven and earth. Why? It doesn't say, and God said. How could it be a saying if it doesn't say anybody said it? These two commands are exactly identical, and you know they come out of? They come out of us, because we reach a level, the Radzina says, we reach a level of Ki ish echad b'lev echad, like one person, with one heart. You know, when you are whole, when your body is whole, when you're feeling well, when you're awake, completely, totally awake, anybody looking at you, anybody looking at you from afar, from near, anybody looking at you can see in your eyes, they can see in your posture, they could see that you are integrated person, right? And they can see that, you know, it shines out from your face, from your eyes, the intelligence that's inside you, a person looking at you can see that you are alive, and the most obvious place is right there in the head, right? You can see, I mean, like, this is a mensch, look at his face. In the same way, once we, all of us, reach that level of ki ish echad b'lev echad, then anoichi Hashem lekecha was obvious. That I am the Lord your God didn't need to be said even. It came not from above, it came from us, from this vayichen nisham Yisroel neged ha, the fact that we had achieved this insight, that we are all God, that we are all, that God is inside us, each of us, as much in my neighbor as in me, and that we are connected to the Holy Ancient One as much as we are connected in the Seder, the order of Yudke Vovke, and that we are all there is. At that moment comes out the Anoichi Hashem Lekecha doesn't even need to be said as a command, in the same way that the world doesn't need somebody to say in the beginning was heaven and earth. Thank you. I bless you. And me, we should have a beautiful Yom Tov, Kabbalah Satorah, and we should meet again in Hashem next week.